My name is Nina Gilligan, and this Manchester tart is great for a brew and a gossip, but too much of it will probably give you heartburn.
Hi, I'm Naomi Cooper, and I've had to switch to champagne because I always spill the tea. Bonded by their shame, British comedians Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper invite you to join The Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club, a podcast that serves as a non-judgmental safe space for all the intelligent, accomplished people out there who just can't stop thinking about Erica's earrings, Luann's singing, and Crystal's ugly leather pants. So grab a glass of rosé and own it as we bring the bunny and mention it all. Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club.
Hello, my name is Nina Gilligan, and she is...
Naomi Cooper, and you're very welcome, as you always are.
You're very, very welcome. How's your guilt level been this week?
My guilt level's not good this morning. I'm pretty hungover.
Oh, so tell all.
There's not much to tell. I had a gig and then I went out after the gig with some friends. And then I got home and stayed up till 4 a.m. watching the new Roadhouse movie.
Well, you know.
Which is so bad that I couldn't stop watching.
Was it bad, bad, good, good?
No, just bad, 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 but compelling. Like I had to know. I'd had to see the whole thing.
Yeah, of course.
And I wanted to go to bed so bad. I was so tired, but I was like, I just have to wait until this nightmare is over. And I do mean nightmare. It's some of the worst acting, some of the worst.
But you have to see it through. You have to bear witness.
Exactly.
I had the lurgy this week, not the government sanctioned lurgy where you have to stay at home, but a lurgy nonetheless.
Which lurgy that you just went out spreading everywhere.
Yeah, which led me to lying in bed with maths. I was on maths. I was on the Married at First Sight Australia.
I need to get into this.
You know what? I had kind of not caught up with it, and it's a joy. It's an absolute joy. There are some proper characters on there.
Well, if you're willing to get married at literal first sight, you're a little bit moronic.
Would you do it?
Absolutely not.
No, there's something in it that what's happened with that show, and it's a bit like The Real Housewives. I can't help feeling that some people just go on it now for the publicity because it has become Australia's greatest export.
Yeah.
After Neighbours.
Yeah.
And Kylie Minogue. People are auditioning for that show now because they want to advertise their brand or whatever. So there's a little bit of a few weeks of you going, who's on this for finding love and who's on this for finding an audience?
And you want the real lunatics.
Yeah.
Not the original morons.
There are some proper OG crazies on it. And it, again, compelling viewing. So if I got to watch some back-to-back episodes of maths in between fever dreams, beautiful stuff.
That sounds great. I might get into that this week.
Yeah, I would recommend.
I feel like I can dedicate some time to that.
Yes.
Because, of course, no Beverly Hills this week.
I did
no
feel
Miami.
A loss. I did feel I a did. Little loss. But did you see on the socials, everyone, about our favourite nurse anaesthetist?
She's gone. And she's pissed.
Yes. She's not going quietly, is she?
Oh,
her blood pressure is up.
She doesn't understand that nobody cares.
I know. And in her room... I mean, it was a long goodbye.
She's not even my favourite nurse anaesthetist.
I mean, she's
Dirty John would take number one spot.
Exactly. She's kicking up a bigger fuss than bloody Trump. I thought she was going to get people to march on the bloody White House. she's going on and on about it. Like, she just, oh, did you see as well? She mentioned that she just went in and did what she was told to do, which mm-hmm. I thought was a little nod in the direction of, they told me to kick off about the esophagus.
Maybe Kyle told her.
Yeah, but I think she was like, no, you know, none of this was my fault. And
I don't know. There was genuine passion behind that esophagus obsession.
Yes. Yeah.
She got into it.
She got into it, but she'd been brought on board to forward a particular storyline, and they have cut her. She is as cut, deeply cut, like a surgeon removing an appendix. She's gone.
She's wounded.
Yeah. She is the appendix of the Bravo world. Like, you don't miss it when it's gone.
No, she's a spleen.
Yeah, she's
a walking spleen.
She's a spleen.
Are we being too mean? I can't tell.
I can't tell anymore.
I'm so hungover. I'm like, kill them all.
I know. You're in that beer fear phase where you think that you've probably been too nasty and everybody's going to hate you.
Yeah.
Do you need a bit of reassurance? I'm sending you a little cuddle. It's all right. We all still love you.
Thank you.
You're all right.
You're so fragile.
Do you need some carbs?
Do you know what? That is exactly what I need. I've got my little can of Coke Zero.
Yeah.
I bought that last night as I was waddling home.
What would be your favourite crisps for a hangover?
It wouldn't be crisps. It'd be a big plate of mashed potato and just put my face in it and blow.
Okay. I feel like you're Irish descent.
I'm going to make that happen later as well. I'm so excited about it.
Yeah.
It's probably going to be smash.
Yeah, I quite like a bag of Monster Munch, bag of beef Monster Munch. And like
crisps
either Dr. Pepper or a Diet Coke or something.
I'm getting on a train later, so I'm probably going to have an upper crust.
Yeah, go for an upper crust. As your Naomi does a brilliant character online, if you've not seen it. I feel like that's... You're channeling Philippa.
Oh,
go
God.
A bit upper crust.
I will take a picture later of my upper crust, and you'll all see it next week when this podcast comes out. And go, yeah. Oh, bless her. That's what that was.
Yeah, totally that. Oh, bless you. It was sad to see. It was a kind of empty week, wasn't it, in the Bravo land? However, we've got a few things to cover because we're going to cover Potomac because that's still going. We're going to have a little...
Still going.
It's still going. I know, it was a bit of a challenge. And then we've got Bet It All on Blonde. We've got The Valley.
Yes, The Valley started. So if you want to see middle-aged people talk about whether or not they're ready to have children...
That's
the show for you.
I felt like it was like, oh, could this work? Like Married to Medicine. And then I was like, no, it's Married to Mediocrity.
It really is.
So, like, let's have a little chat about that. But we're committed. So let's get into it. Should we start with Potomac?
Let's start with Potomac.
Potomac.
The rule can't change because of social media.
Okay. Oh, these women are not worth the running eyeliner.
I enjoyed NECA at the doctor's office, the facility office, trying to figure out how to give a dry hand job.
I know. And the cameraman.
See the confusion.
Did you see the poor cameraman? He was absolutely pissing himself.
He was I do not get paid enough for this.
I know. It was the most awkward wanking in a cup.
Oh, turn the mics off. D mic.
I know. We don't need a hot mic moment for that, do we?
Oh, I don't like it.
It was very uncomfortable. I mean,
also, if they make a baby, that's the baby's conception.
I know. And the baby's gonna
that child will be able to watch back on that and go, there I am being made with love.
Yeah, totally. And I thought he was like crossing the line between companion and doctor. Do you know when they got into the bit of the insemination?
Yeah.
It's like, I can understand why you want to take part, daddy, but will you get that vaginal ultrasound? Just put it down now.
Yeah, put it down.
Put it down. Yeah. I think
we've all had a fun day, but you're getting overexcited.
Yeah, take it out of her now. I mean, even she was like, enough now.
Yeah.
You're getting far too interested in this on a scientific level.
I kind of like that they showed that.
Yeah, it was nice.
I was kind of interested in that.
Yeah, I mean, for women who are struggling to conceive, that was a overly detailed and fascinating look at insemination.
Not since Adrian's husband, Paul, got a colonoscopy have we been so welcomed into the medical room.
Into the medical room. And I didn't realise sperm was so busy. I mean, I knew sperm moved fast, but my God, they were like... I was trying to think of a very fast person. And Usain Bolt, they were...
Yes.
He has got some very busy sperm.
He has, hasn't he? I'm surprised.
And plenty of them.
They needed the artificial insemination.
I was as well, because they seem
Sounds like you could get pregnant just watching that scene.
Yeah, pretty quick off the mark. Nobody lie down on that couch after she's been there. Yeah, so that was pretty interesting. How did we feel about poor Mia and Gordy's...
So the first time Mia consulted a divorce attorney, Gordon emptied her bank account.
Yeah.
That is abuse. Right?
It's financial abuse, yeah?
Yeah. You can't do
that. We all agree?
And she said it so casually and he was just kind of like shrugged.
And he said to her before, if you try and divorce me, we'll come to find some financial arrangement because I'm the rich one and you're the pretty one. He said this before. He thinks he's got her in bondage. And she's like, there is no amount of money that would keep me with a man that I don't want to be with. I like Mia. I've said it for a while now. I think
I like Mia.
She's the cat, isn't she? But I think she's got a scratch as well. I think... Mm. Just be a little bit careful. I don't think you can play her. I think she's a woman of dignity. She is gonna defend herself if she needs to. She may have already been having an affair. We don't know. But I think she's out of there if she wants to be out of there. She's probably thinking long and hard about the kids or whatever. Kids are not whatever, by the way. I know. Kids are very important. I've been there myself, but...
Your kids aren't listening to this, Nina. Relax.
No, I won't be so sure. So I think I think I like Mia and I think Gordy is overconfident.
Yeah, he is definitely not taking it seriously enough.
Yeah.
And that was just a side of him that made me go, what else aren't we seeing?
Yeah, totally. Totally, that.
Emptying someone's bank account so that they can't live without you is horrific and not cool. And I was kind of like, does he control, you know?
Yeah, and by the time you've got to the point of having to empty someone's bank account, you're literally stopping them escaping.
Yeah.
You know,
barricading them in a room.
Like, yeah, if I had to stop my partner escaping, I think that's probably a red flag for the fact that he doesn't want to be with me anymore.
Yeah, that's always confused me about abusive people. Yeah. But why do you want to be with someone that you have to
control,
physically, mentally, refrain from leaving?
Yeah. It's like, what are you getting out of this? Because you know that they're basically wearing a mask, and they're frightened of you.
It's over.
It's dead in the water. I don't know how you can get off on that.
Yeah, it's weird.
Coochie sweat. I mean, we started early indoors with that, didn't we? Coochie sweat. That's a weird segue.
There's not a lot of chat about coochie sweat in Potomac this season. And now every time I go to the gym, I'm like, is it sweating? Am I doing it wrong?
This is probably why I don't exercise.
It never used to be part of my life, coochie sweat.
And, I know. And I feel like are we in one of those weird advertising things now where, you know, they suddenly find something wrong with a woman that you have to fix?
Oh, yeah.
It's like something else I've got to be bloody worried about
now. Something else I've got to be concerned about. It's exhausting.
It's exhausting the amount of shit we've got wrong with us. Like,
so true.
I know. And now it's like, oh, just add it to the list of problems.
Yeah.
Now I've got
failures.
Failures. Now I've got to worry about my coochie sweat. And the line, I mean, we have to address that Giselle's father's very ill and that did play
into
this episode.
That's very sad. And he has since passed away, hasn't he?
Yeah. So we have to, recognise that and that for Giselle took her completely out of being able to dedicate herself to the fashion show. And Ashley played a blinder.
She stepped up.
And we've seen Ashley do that before when Michael was being a complete prick over the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
And she was able to step up. I think Ashley's got a really good work ethic and she sort of thrives in that environment where she's allowed to do something. So yeah. I thought it showed Ashley in a really good light. And Giselle...
I also like that Giselle owned her and she was really grateful and she gave her all the credit and she made a toast to her and acknowledged all the work she'd done and stuff, because you don't see a lot of that in the Housewives.
No, you don't see team playing. And I think we're a good team. We're a good team.
We are a good team.
And like you and I, we will sort of go, oh God, I can't do that this week or whatever. And we'll do that for each other. But you don't see that, do you, a lot in that sort of franchise?
You don't see them covering each other's asses. You know, you see them saying, yeah, that's no problem, and then slagging them off.
Yeah, yeah. And I like working within teams where nobody exposes each other. I think that's nice.
Yeah. It's so nice feeling someone's got your back, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So that was quite a rare moment of nice friendship between Ashley and Giselle.
Yes, it was. It was lovely.
Which I enjoyed.
Which was totally ripped to shreds by the old Dr. Wendy.
I've literally got in my notes here, they're in bullet points, and I don't know which scene this is about because I watched it a while ago, but there's just a bullet point here that says, oh, fuck off, Wendy. Yeah. I don't know what it means,
and
but
so
it could
say
be anything.
All of us.
she drives me nuts.
She was like, you were dragging me when my mother was ill. Your mother wasn't dying, for one. And you were dragging me, so that's all I've got to say about that. That was her empathy level for Giselle's father being in a critical condition.
Who was dying.
I mean, we had crossed over from he's poorly to he's dying, and everybody knew that, and nothing.
And you could see how sort of shell-shocked Giselle was.
Yeah.
That was very genuine, I thought.
Incredibly genuine. The woman was not in her own body. Then she...
This isn't the time to go, to score points or to start shit. Like, just put your stuff to one side.
Yeah.
Oh, this is just bad karma. Because this is going to happen to all of us.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. She's appalling. And then accused them of ripping off her outfits because they'd said something about an outfit. And she's like, oh, and there they go. They've just taken my outfit and put it in their line. She just couldn't find a single nice thing to say. Candice, again, with her very good put downs, was saying it was like an elevated Alibaba. What, Candice, where do you get these from?
She never lets us down, does she?
She never lets us down. And I think it was, I think Hugo came out with a good one as well. Karen came out with another corker about it.
They were so bitchy about that clothing line, man.
They were so bitchy. What was it? I've got it written down. So Wendy said she'd coffered it. I thought I'd written it down and I didn't. Sorry about that. Yes, booty call nightwear. That's what Karen Hughey said. Booty call nightclub wear.
You can't argue with that. I think that's what they were going for.
Yeah. I think, but Robin did it nicely. She said she thought it was more athleisure than it was
workout gear.
But she also, there was a caveat to that where she said, but I'm very proud of them for pulling this together. Nobody thought they could pull this together and they actually did it. So well done.
They're not aware of how they come across, are they? Because it's just like, if it was me, even if I hated it, I'd be like, people are going to watch this, mm-hmm. so I'll be supportive. Mm-hmm.
Which is why you'll never get cast on the show. Because
it's true.
Because you've got
one of many reasons, let's be honest.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you might get cast in the Valley.
Do you know what? I reckon I could get cast in the Valley tomorrow.
Yeah, totally. Because that does not seem to have a casting.
Dear God. And we saw the return of Sesame Street.
Oh my Deborah. Goodness, I was going to talk about that. Now,
she
Wendy,
is thirsty as fuck, isn't
Wendy
she?
Wendy managed to have some self-awareness when she said that she was fake as shit towards her, which she was. She just completely slagged her off and then was like, oh, hi, lovely to see you. So she did manage, what you know, some sort of social norm for a second.
Yeah. But I quite like, and in fairness, all Candace actually said to her was, she said, do you think we should talk? And Candace said, absolutely not. Well, I wouldn't be talking to her either.
No.
She was so totally exposed as a liar and a shit stirrer and a troublemaker. Mm-hmm. And yet she comes back in wounded.
Yeah, like, I mean, the way this, and I don't think
she's sandoviling. She's sandoviling.
100%.
You either come back in and grovel or you fuck off.
Yeah, totally that. I mean, the iconic women. I mean, the only thing I think we've missed before we get to the hot mic moment was we had that, they did the photo shoot, and I think we're going to come back to that in the next episode, I think, where they have a party for that, where they all got nominated to be iconic women. How much did they love that?
I thought it was mean that Necca wasn't involved.
Yeah, I thought that as well. It's like,
that was bitchy.
It was bitchy, and I just think, was that an editorial decision by the magazine? Was it?
No, I think it was
because she hid behind him. She said, "Well, he said that he didn't want her because she was new." But I was like,
that.
I'm not sure about that because, you know, I'm sure they could still say that she was somebody. I don't know. It was a bit weird. It felt a bit mean. But, I mean, how much did that were those women channeling the icon thing? I think Giselle thought she was Beyoncé in that moment.
I'm excited to watch next week. I think we're going to see her Beyoncé-ing more.
I think so. I cannot wait for that. And Candice definitely thought she was Diana Ross. I mean, it was happening for them, wasn't it? They felt like they'd entered their true selves. And it's interesting because they behave like icons. It's interesting when you see them juxtaposed with actual icons and you go, oh, yeah, you're not really, are you?
You're vapid as hell, aren't
you? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's nothing going on.
Yeah, there is absolutely nothing going on.
Oh, that's what an icon is. I remember.
I remember now because you all act like icons. You're not actually icons, Karen Huger.
No.
So then we had that hot mic moment, didn't we? That's which kind of ended the episode where I can't quite make it out. Kiana? Is it Kiana or Kiana? Kiana sounded like she was trying to break up or at least trying to de-escalate what was very quickly becoming a fight. Can we just talk about Candice's use of language? Did she say the help twice? I think that's quite inflammatory language.
It's certainly language that I couldn't get away with using.
Like, and I don't think she can either. She's not above that. And I think that is going to, I think that was inflammatory language. And I think she's stepped over a bloody line.
I think they'll hold her feet to the fire in the reunion.
I hope so. I think that was.
I want to like Candice because she's got all the makings of a good housewife, but she's such a bad arguer. She loses her temper and just gets really nasty. And she's not winning the argument. She thinks she is. She's not.
Yeah. Have you noticed how bad she is in a group recently? I think she always looks deeply uncomfortable in a group setting. They kind of She hates those women and they always put the camera on her just as she enters the group. And she's got a real problem in a group dynamic. She's looking for, I noticed it at the crab boil, she's looking for someone to cling on to because she's got no allies.
She has no allies.
Somebody will arrive and she'll cling on to them and say something like, oh, you look great, because she's got to hand out a compliment to find somebody to sit next to, because there's nobody really that wants to sit next to or talk to her.
No,
she's very isolated and she knows it.
She's been too unpleasant and she refuses to climb down. Mm-hmm. And whether or not she should, like, I get that she's hurt and, you know, all the stuff that was said about her husband was horrible.
But then going on to
proven
use that,
untrue.
Absolutely that. And then going on to using that kind of language, it's not helping your corner.
It's not at all. That's the thing. She thinks she's winning a fight each time. And it's like, you're making things worse.
Yeah,
you're losing sympathy.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, I always wonder with these hot mic moments, like, did they leave that on deliberately?
I don't know. I think in fairness, there would be some hot mic moments because they're not the brightest.
Yeah, they've not turned their own mics off.
So I do think it's possible that there would be hot mic moments, but it's also completely possible that they're orchestrated.
So what did we think? That it sounded like it ended physical to me. It sounded like it was going physical. And we've had that before where people's heads have been banged off tables. So wasn't it Candice's head that was banged off a table? Somebody's head was banged off a table a few series ago. So we're not beyond this. No, I think it was in Atlanta, was it?
There should be a line at Bravo. And as soon as things get physical, that housewife should be gone.
Yeah.
There should be a line.
Yeah.
To be honest, the line should be before it gets physical.
We certainly
but that
had
should definitely
be a line. Ashley and Candice having a fight in Candice's kitchen where a knife was thrown. I mean, this stuff has gone on before where it's crossed over into physical.
And that's not cool.
It's not cool.
It shouldn't really be given a platform, that kind of
thumbs
like,
down.
Violence, you know?
Yeah, thumbs down.
Did we see the news about Karen Huger?
No.
She was in a car crash and arrested for driving under the influence.
Karen!
Naughty, naughty, naughty Karen. So she's been arrested and charged after crashing her Maserati.
Well,
hard
you know,
to have sympathy.
Can't have sympathy for that.
Yeah.
No, like me, no like it.
But I'm guessing some of the other women are loving that.
Yeah. Yeah. They'll be out. The crown has slipped.
Yeah. And I'm guessing they haven't filmed their reunion yet. I haven't seen any news about their reunion. So that will be fun.
Oh, Karen. Karen.
Karen.
With all these cases, and I don't want to take the moral high ground because, like, people do daft shit for all kinds of daft reasons. We're not the bloody police here. But with them kind of crimes, I always feel
you could
like
hurt someone.
You
so
could
easily.
Hurt someone. That's it.
You could kill someone. It's if you're going to get drunk and get behind the wheel of a car, you might as well run down the street waving a sword.
100%. I used to work in sort of criminal justice, and we used to kind of say you
from B&Q to criminal justice. Your job history is really fascinating to me.
I know. I was a probation officer, and you.
That's hilarious. Sorry.
I know. Can you imagine? Like, you're still finding so much about each other. So it's like having a gun that weighs a ton. That was one of my bosses used to say.
Yeah.
So if you've lost control of it, you've got a gun that weighs a
ton. Particularly a Maserati, which strikes me as a car that's probably not the easiest to maintain control of. For someone like Karen Huger.
I know.
Put a few glasses of lady petrol in
her. But then again, because I was probation officer and we're all the big softies, we're not like the police.
Yeah.
But I'm all on the side of rehabilitation. I hope she gets help. I hope she sorts her shit out.
Well, Shannon Bedore just did this as well from the OC.
She did.
So there's an arrogance to it.
Is it a wealth culture thing?
They feel entitled.
Stop it, ladies. Stop it.
Not cool.
Naughty.
Shall we go over to Vanderpump Rules?
Yes, please.
You're a worm with a mustache.
My cards.
So, one of the most cringeworthy, creepiest things I've ever seen on television, and I did just watch the new Roadhouse movie, was Tom Sandoval in the swimming pool flirting.
Oh, God. Oh, God.
Why was he sort of like hunched over and like kind of, it's like a little troll.
It's not good.
And the women were openly so scared in their repulsion.
I know. And then he'll have put an entry. Dear diary, this afternoon, I went in a swimming pool. I didn't wear my armbands. I had an inflatable and I talked to a lovely lady. No, not having it.
In the same house as well. Like, if you're going to pick up women, can you just not do it? Like, this doesn't, think about the optics.
Like, he's not going to make the optics, is he? I mean, your words were just ringing in my ears for the whole episode. It's like, Tom, I'm giving up now. I'm giving up.
And you've tried. You've tried to be devil's advocate, but he's just a prick.
He is the devil who can't be advocated for.
He actually compared himself to Scott Peterson, who, for those of you who don't know, murdered his pregnant wife.
Yes.
Famously was convicted of it. And then said, allegedly, Scott Peterson did that. Like, he's becoming frightening.
Yeah.
And then he jokes about keeping Ariana locked in her room and sliding crisps under the door. And like,
he's becoming sinister.
Yeah, he's very sinister, I think.
I wonder if those diaries, he's thinking of making them into a book as well.
Well, we did see him in previous seasons read his diaries out loud at a stand-up comedy gig.
I think he thinks it's going to be some, like, memoir that people will want to read.
A redemption memoir. Asking for redemption.
The 500-page memoir of Tom Sandoval.
Ugh.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Age,
I wouldn't be at all surprised if he's trying to shop a book.
Age 40 and three quarters. The wilderness
he's
years.
Still lying about his age. I think he's like 43.
Yeah.
That's always been murky.
Yeah.
Oh,
today, I cried into a cupboard. I thought that was funny. Crying into your socks.
And Schwartz,
and
Schwartz was completely immoved. Schwartz was just like, fucking
hell. I'm so bored of this. Schwartz, what? This was the worst plan Schwartz has ever had. When Schwartz was going, I think what he needs is to talk to somebody who's been in a similar situation. Jax!
Jax, the return of evil Jax. And Jax came in.
As Jax!
Yeah, but I think a lot of people enjoyed Jax. He came in, told him, I saw a picture where you looked about 50. I'm glad you got rid of your raggedy white nail polish. He just ripped. But he also said, I've done terrible shit. You have to humble yourself and apologize before people can move on. When Jax Taylor is the voice of reason, you really need to give yourself a talking to.
Yeah. But Jax is what I'd describe as an authentic person in terms of he's got zero self-awareness.
Mm-hmm.
He's always Jax.
Yes. And that's what always made him quite good to watch, wasn't it? He'd go, yeah, I did it.
Yeah. And he's like, but... on what planet did Schwartz think that Jax could help this situation? It's like bringing the world's worst counsellor in, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's like bringing a counsellor into who'd be the world's worst counsellor in a kind of marriage guidance setting?
Tom Sandoval.
Yeah. It's just like... Yeah, what I think is you should have an affair. You're not happy. Have an affair.
And if you can have an affair with her best friend.
That would be a great idea.
Yeah. Oh, God. And stop pretending you ever loved
Rachel. It's like having Boris Johnson as your marriage guidance counsellor. How many children have you got? No, I can't remember either. I just say, fuck a filly.
Oh, God.
Yeah, do you know what I mean? It's just grim.
It is grim. But yeah, when you're making Jax Taylor look reasonable and morally sound, have a word with yourself, Tom Sandoval. Also, he couldn't, when Katie said she found the whole affair fathomless, like she couldn't, fathomless? You can't fathom it? It's like, yeah, that's what she means. Yeah. No one could fathom that you
nobody
could.
Can
that's
fathom
why this
it.
Blew up.
Yeah.
As big as it did, because nobody could get their head around exactly what you did.
It's like he's not got his head round. Sometimes we feel things, but it doesn't make them facts.
Yeah.
He can't separate his feelings from reality. He thinks because he feels it, it's real. And you know who does that? Children. That's what children do. And as we grow up, we realise that our feelings, we sometimes have to go, oh, okay, I feel that. I feel that I want to eat an entire bag of biscuits. But reality tells me that that's going to make me sick.
Yes. But that's what he's... Impulse control, isn't he?
Impulse control, you fucking moron. Oh, my God, I'm bad today.
I'm hearing... I'm loving every word you're saying. I feel like we finally got you off this Be Fair to Sandoval train, and I'm all over it.
It was never... Right. For the benefit of the tape, it was never Be Fair to Sandoval. What it was can we all... be adults, but he's not being an adult.
No, I've never seen somebody
can't defend the indefensible
in any situation refuse to take accountability in the way he has. It's kind of stunning. Just decided if I admit to it, then I'll always have done something wrong. I will maintain I didn't
100%. If I was his barrister in court now and I was doing a summing up, I'd just go, you know what, guys, just fucking convict him, send him down. I'd just throw the book at him.
And he keeps doing these sort of half-assed apologies. And when he gets any kind of pushback on the apology, he kind of loses his temper and takes back his apology.
I know. He's like a toddler.
I am loving Katie this season. I've said it. I am. She's sticking to her guns. She gets on my nerves too, but she is sticking to her guns. And what she doesn't owe him anything.
No.
He did play a huge part in messing up her marriage.
She hates him.
He's gaslit her and made her look nuts and obsessive and naggy for years. And I don't understand why she should. And she doesn't owe him that.
She doesn't owe him that. It's just the problem I have with Katie, and it's completely unreasonable of me to have this problem, but Katie's got the biggest resting bitch face.
She has.
And it's boring.
And we've seen her be a real bitch as well. So we know there's bitchy power behind that resting bitch face.
Yeah. I'd just like one episode where Kate is in a good mood.
Yeah.
Just one.
It's true, isn't it?
We need a bit of light with the dark.
I was hanging out with that group, I would be in a foul place the whole time.
But she is just in a bad mood all the time. It's very one note for me with Katie.
That's very true. That's a completely fair comment.
So that it's just getting on my nerves now. Mm-hmm. What really excited me about this episode, and I never thought I'd say it, was, thank God for Jax. Thank God for Jax, because right. I'm getting a bit bored.
Mm.
I'm like, yep, we need to sort this out with Sandoval, but we also need some lightness.
It's
a bit like, I'm wading through mud with
this. Other storylines are Sheena doesn't want to leave her babies.
Mm-hmm.
Katie and Ariana's sandwich bar is still not open. Schwartz has a female friend.
That's quite good. I'm quite liking Joe. I quite like that.
She's not been very popular on the socials, and I'm quite surprised because I think she's a bit of a breath of fresh air.
I think it's something different.
Compared to most of those girls.
I think
it is something different.
It's something different. And what I'm really sensing is like there's an air of like, they have painted her, and I don't know whether they're gaslighting. There's an air of craziness about Joe that we can't quite put our finger on. And I'm not sure whether Tom has properly done the dirty, in the sense that he's been quite into her, then emotionally unavailable, mm-hmm. then quite into her, mm-hmm. then he's withdrawn, and he's made her crazy. Do you know?
Yeah. And now he's
kind of essentially
going on dates with her.
Yeah.
Like a romantic little paddle boat.
Just stop winding her up.
And he even said, I could happily be married to her, but... It's like, what is she supposed to make of that when she watches that back?
I think she's been
been leading her on.
Bit used. Mm. And she's clearly fallen for him at some point in this process.
And I think at some point she'll do a Christian Doty and lose her mind and shout at him, and everyone will be like, whoa, she's unhinged.
Yeah. And it's not fair, is it?
We saw that with Kristen. Justice for Kristen, by the way.
Justice for Kristen. So I think we might talk about justice for Joe.
Yeah, justice for Joe. I'm aware that they're setting her up to be a lunatic. And yeah, new Kristen. It's not a good look.
Yeah.
But one scene I did really enjoy was when Tom invited all his friends to the bar and Ariana showed up.
Yeah.
And he was visibly furious and confused.
And needed a shit.
And needed a shit. How do you know a man's uncomfortable?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that was such a power move on her part. And it was so good. Really, and Schwartz actually said, can you not stand so close to me?
Yeah. 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 You're making me look bad.
So that was great. And that what was so good about that is Ariana didn't do anything bitchy or wrong. She just showed up to hang out with her friends. And it was the most, he was so angry. He was so annoyed.
He was apoplectic.
And completely impotent. There was nothing he could do.
Nothing
he could
do.
He was just kind of like,
Worked like a charm. Worked like an absolute charm. And Ariana had also pulled a bit of a power move right at the beginning of the episode when she sat down with Sheena and empathised with Sheena.
Yes.
She did it nicely. She did it.
Ariana's kind of managing this all in quite a take the high road kind of way. The odd bitchy thing comes out of her mouth. And you've got to remember, this is only a couple of months after she was humiliated and betrayed.
Yeah.
So she's entitled to that. But mostly she's treading very carefully and trying very hard to be fair, I think.
And she did do it this week because she'd been annoying me a little bit, but she did the old, I should have probably spoke to you about Dancing with the Stars. My bad. She didn't have to do that.
But also this weird entitlement from Sheena that because she said she wanted it, it's hers.
Yeah.
They all want to go on Dancing with the Stars. No one's going
to
turn
it down.
I want
to go on Dancing with the Stars. Nobody's going to apologize.
Do you know what it reminded me of? You know when you're like at school, and I do mean school because that's how immature these people are.
Yeah.
And like there's one guy that all the girls fancy.
Yes.
And then there's one girl that says she fancies him that goes
and
public
think
with
you've
her
put
crush.
A marker on it.
Yeah, and therefore, no one else, even though everyone else likes him just as much, nobody else can go after this guy because he's hers. And it's like, but you can't just claim it.
But that persists, doesn't it? Even into your 20s. I had a situation like this not that long ago with somebody I know. They had that in their friendship group and they were like in their late 20s. And they were all working together and somebody said to a friend, oh, I quite like him. And then that bloke was into the other girl and she was like, I can't go out with him because my friend said she likes him. And I was like, are you absolutely kidding me? You're adults.
I remember when I was at uni, actually, my first boyfriend at uni, he couldn't go out with me because his best friend liked me. And I was like, but I don't
like your best friend.
You and I like each other. What's
the problem?
It's
insanity. There's some rules, aren't there, that come from school. There was one that we were talking about last week, and it's completely forgotten now, where you kind of go, they do not persist into adulthood. We have to start calling them out.
Yeah.
We have to stop with that shit.
Yeah. Dancing with the Stars, just because she was taking dance lessons, which I feel is kind of cheating as well.
Yeah, yeah.
Just because she was taking dance lessons doesn't mean that she deserves it more or that she owns it as an opportunity.
Well, we know what this is like in our game. So for those of you that have not noticed, Naomi and I are comedians. So what will happen?
You looked really depressed as she said that.
Yeah. We're Canadians. Like
all your life decisions just came back to haunt you in one montage.
From B&Q to probation to full-time comedian. When all other options ran out, you can send £1 a week to help
a comedian.
Yeah. But we see it all the time in our game. Suddenly you'll be gigging with someone, next thing they're on a live at the Apollo, and you're like, oh, okay, well done. You've got to be pleased for people.
But there's room for everyone.
Yeah,
there's
you've
room
got
for
to.
Everyone. It's okay.
You've got to not.
Someone else's success isn't your failure.
That's one of my phrases. Did you know that?
Is it?
We both use that. I always say that someone else's success is not your failure.
But Sheena is just so childish.
And if you cling to that idea of economic scarcity. mm-hmm. where, you know, everything's a competition, especially amongst women, because men will lead you to believe, here's my feminist rant, men will leave you to believe there's only so many seats at the table for women, mm-hmm. and they will set up competition with between women. And that happens at quite a subtle level. So I will go to a gig and it's quite weird. So they'll say to me, because there's not as many female comedians around and we don't get to see each other as much because they sort of spread us about on bills.
There's one on every gig. So there's very rarely that we'll actually see each other.
And when we do meet, we start a podcast. So
see, we should have met years ago.
Yeah, we should have, but we don't get on the same bills. No. So and when we do meet, we tend to go, ah, this is great. So
let's do a podcast.
Let's do a podcast. But what will happen? So this is a subtle one. So I'll just go into a gig and I'm a comedian on a bill, nothing else, no gender specifics there. And a male comedian will very often say something like, oh, have you seen such a body? She's new. She's great.
Yeah.
So they subtly, I don't know if that happens to you, they subtly say, oh, you've got a competitor.
Watch your back.
Watch your back. You have a competitor. Like there's only so much room. Like they never kind of go, oh, there's a new bloke on the circuit. You should watch out. It's like, oh, you've got a competitor. There's another woman. You need to watch yourself. Mm-hmm. And it's a very weird, I find it very interesting that women are set up against other women.
Yeah.
And that if you're not very careful, you could buy into that.
Which Sheena has done.
And I think what we need to do in our sort of entertainment industry broadly is just make more places for women.
Yeah.
And celebrate women's achievements.
If we as women didn't buy into that, it wouldn't exist.
Yeah, totally. Because it's an illusion.
The problem is there are women like that, like Sheena out there, who go, competition it is. And then that's what people see and that's what people get scared of.
Yeah,
she's
exactly.
not a good friend to Ariana. She is not a good friend to Ariana.
You hold each other back. You know, Chicago won't last forever for Ariana. And then there will be another opening. A few women have done Chicago from the Bravo franchise.
Right, exactly.
It could be you, Sheena. Do you know what I mean? Or you just have to keep the idea in your mind that there's lots of work for everybody, or you can create work if you're an artist, you know, or a mm-hmm. creative, you can make your own work and just let go of that idea that the narrative that there's only so many places for women, which is mainly perpetuated by men.
Yeah. But it's I just find her really frustrating to watch. And I think this whole, particularly at the Tahoe episode when like she's crying and like, she's kind of playing traumatized, it feels, because she's seen it work for Ariana.
Mm.
And she wants the opportunities now. So she's trying to play the victim. And it's like, I get that what you went through was horrible. The restraining order thing was terrible, right? But
wouldn't that be really sad for all of us if we think the only way to get ahead is to act out a trauma?
Yeah. Like, that's not... It's not positive. She's not a good role model, is she?
No.
And it brings me back to the first ever conversation that she had on film, which I think was the conversation with Brandy, whose husband she was sleeping with while Brandy was pregnant.
Yeah.
And Brandy holds her own very well in the conversation. Sheena says there were feelings involved.
Yeah.
Sheena's like, grovel, fall on your sword when you're talking to the woman whose husband you slept with while she was pregnant. Mm. Like, don't talk about your feelings. Don't talk about your diamond earrings he bought you. What are you doing? Mm. Like,
I'd much rather see Sheena do her positive Sheena. Like, you know, when she was doing her sort of, what was it? She was doing a version of one of her songs a few weeks ago.
Good as Gold.
Yeah, she was doing Good as Gold, but she was doing a version of it in the club.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'd much rather see Sheena build on her talents that she already has, and you know, do that.
Yeah,
create
that's how,
work.
That's how you get ahead, by showcasing yourself, not by whinging.
Create your own work. Yes, be disappointed. Yes, mourn the loss of him. And I did feel very sorry for her. I mean, I had a lot of empathy. She had a bloody restraining order. She's got OCD, but don't try to steal another woman's limelight, that's where I'm going to lose.
And steal it by, it sounds weird, but stealing her trauma?
Stealing her trauma, yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
That makes like, me, we're on the same page with that. That makes me completely uncomfortable.
It's really creepy to me when people compete for who's having the worst time.
I know. You think you've got it bad conversations. You know when you try, when you, so I did this last night. So I shared something very, very uncomfortable with somebody and they were like, well, you never guess what happened to me. And I was like, oh, fuck off.
Yeah. I had it with some people I don't speak to anymore, but when my mother was dying.
I'm so sorry that
And
happened.
They still had their own, like, and I was like, can it just for this 50-minute drink that I've managed to sneak out of the house for, could it just be about me? Just for once? It couldn't.
Sometimes I don't know what people are doing because I'm like, so you present somebody with something really awful, like a friend is dying. And you, what you'd get back is their story. And you're like, is this just a reference point? Is this you trying to do it for relatability? But then it just goes on and on and on. And you're like, no, it's not, is it?
And I've also been in the situation where I've gone to meet friends and I've been like, this is, you know, I've had a shitty week and I'm looking forward to discussing it with my friends and getting some advice from them. And then they'll show up with an actual, you know, crisis. And I'll literally be like, how are you? Oh, I'm fine.
Let's
we don't need to talk about
you.
Me this week.
Exactly.
So when
pick
you don't get that back,
cues.
It's kind of baffling. Yeah, pick up on the cues.
Yeah.
Like, and I shitty week at work does not a dying mother equal.
Yeah, and I think this is what this series is struggling with at the minute, isn't it? This season is there's a lot of cues going on and people are needing a lot of different things. And that's kind of heavy lifting.
And a lot of entitled narcissists
that
are annoyed it's not about them enough.
Yeah.
Lala and Sheena are aching over the fact that they're bystanders.
Yeah.
They're onlookers and they don't like being cast in that role.
It must be very difficult for Bravo because what they've had is this massive thing happen in reality TV terms because, you know, it is a big thing in reality TV. Let's be very clear.
They
nobody's
got nominated
died.
For Emmys.
Yeah, nobody's died. That's what kind of annoys me. Nobody's died.
All these bloody Scott Peterson references and OJ references that...
Yeah, we're taking
it
a
might,
bit too...
It might be a matter of time until someone
yeah,
does
yeah,
die.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. God, imagine. So you do wonder if reality TV will end up there at some point. I'm sure there's been a film about that. So... I just feel like this whole season, do Bravo really just want to focus on that? Because if we don't get some lightness soon, if we don't get some counterpoint balance, I think they might be overestimating how interesting that is.
Yeah. So I think the problem is basically they need more storyline, don't they? It's all about Scandal.
Yeah. I'm just looking for a bit more lightness now. And let's see where it goes. I just think that's going to be hard to keep up for the whole season because it's all about healing and the way Sandoval is going, he's not going to be able to do it.
They've tried really, really hard to give him a redemption arc, but he keeps
throwing it back in
his
face.
Middle finger up at it. So
yeah,
we shall see. Now, shall we go over to the new kid on the block, the Valley?
The Valley, and then we'll do a little bit at the end on Betting It All on Blonde.
Yeah. So the Valley, thoughts?
Thoughts on the Valley, Married to Mediocrity. It's a bit weird.
Dull. It's dull, isn't it?
It is at the moment, but I think we have to recognise that it's the first episode.
Yeah.
I feel like it's aimed at people that are, and I was there, young children in the house. But does it have the aspirational lifestyle? Like what Vanderpump had was that young, sexy.
Yeah, they're
energy.
All having sex with each other, you know.
And that was aspirational.
Oh, yeah.
Whether you were at that age and you wanted to be in LA doing all that at LVP's place, or whether you were past that age, wishing you'd have done all that
yeah, exactly.
at LVB's place.
Whereas, do you want to be Britney? Do you want to be Kristen?
Do you want to be in the valley in a... In an okay...
By the way, guess who just moved to the valley?
Who?
I don't want to be cynical, but Sheena Shea just moved to the valley.
Oh, did they? Are they looking for any more TV opportunities?
Oh, dear. Sheena,
I mean,
really
they turned
up,
didn't they, at the bloody pool party?
Yeah, and I was excited to see them because nothing was going on. I was like, oh, Lala, here we go. Start some shit, please.
I know. And I'd love Britney, but, like, I do feel like, what the F with Jax? Like, could your boobs get any bigger now? He asked for that size of boob. I have no problem with you having to do whatever you want to your body as long as it's what you want.
It was very uncomfortable when she got that boob job, wasn't it?
For him.
Yeah, he said, if I'm paying for them, then I want them how I want them. Like,
and the surgeon said, we don't usually do this size.
Yeah, but there you go. Like,
there you go. There is a problem queuing up for down the line for that poor woman.
And of course, they've separated now.
And they've separated. Who gets to keep the boobs?
Maybe they get one each.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Split the assets, literally.
Split the assets, Brittany.
I mean, I don't care if Kristen has a baby. I don't. You do you. I don't care. It's not exciting.
Why
I don't understand
why
Jax cares so much.
He's got so many opinions, hasn't he?
He really has.
We can see that is with Jesse and James, is it? Where they're having a relationship issue. That seems to be, that's going to be a possible arc. And there's been some sending of dick pics or sexy photos, or there's been something going on there. What do I think of the valley? I think it needs time.
I agree. In fairness, we don't know the characters yet, do we?
We don't know the characters. We need a bit more time.
We need more time. So we'll keep following it. And
we will, and we'll check in with it.
And we'll check in with it.
But I'm not at this moment of time in time.
I'm not excited by it.
No.
Yeah. That's fair,
but,
I think.
But I've been here before with Bravo, and before you know it, I'll be glued to it.
I remember when I first watched Vanderpump Rules as a Housewives fan, I was like, oh, this doesn't work for me at all. And then five episodes in, I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Absolutely hooked. So,
you know, if
open mind.
You know, Andy Cohen, you've tricked me before, and you can trick me again, you little
cheeky. With your wily ways.
Your little cheeky, sexy trickster. So let's see. What about betting it all on Blonde? Should we finish with that?
Oh, bet it all on Blonde, man. I really liked the theatrical sweeping of her yard that they opened with.
Yeah, wasn't
to
that?
Show that she has fallen on hard times.
She's a real Cinderella now.
She's sweeping next to the pool in the apartment that, you know, is probably still worth several $1 million. But, you know, these are hard times.
This was a Cinderella story from riches to rags, from rags to riches, from riches to rags and back again, wasn't it?
Yeah. And Mikey crying, man.
Yeah. I don't
know. He really was struggling with her.
Well, when I left because it's two episodes, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
When I got through the two episodes, I think I did it in a oneer. I was like, I think they knew to get through these two episodes. They'll have sold this to the production company.
Yeah.
To get through the two episodes, they needed it to have a narrative structure and an arc.
And an element of, you know, potential
will she
crisis.
Make it to the final performance? Will she pull out Erica? Will Erica arrive?
Or will she do a terribly mediocre performance and let everyone down, which she did do, but they celebrated it as brilliant. So it was all very confusing.
I don't know whether I bought that story. I'm not sure.
I
don't know whether it was like, will they, won't they put the thing on in the bed? Had she lost her sexuality? I was like, I'm not buying it.
I'm not sure I'm
buying what you're selling. Yeah.
It wasn't. No.
I think it's because had we as a general public, had this been Mariah Carey or somebody, do you know what I mean? Had we as the general public been really invested in a woman's career as a pop star,
mm-hmm.
and we'd seen and followed the career, this really sexual, had this been Madonna?
Right. Yeah. Show me Madonna losing her mojo.
Show me Madonna losing her mojo and I'd be invested. I'd be looking for Madonna's mojo under the bed. I'd be searching down the back of the couch. I'd be doing hashtag where has Madonna's mojo gone? Please find Madonna's mojo. I'd be fucking worried about her mojo.
Yeah. But with Erica Jane, it's like, oh.
I didn't even know he had mojo.
If Erica Jane doesn't release another song.
I knew you could masturbate on a bed.
Yeah.
I don't think that's the same as being a brilliant dancer or a brilliant performer.
Or a singer of any kind.
Yeah. Do you know what I'm getting at?
Yeah. It's...
The stakes in that documentary weren't high enough for me.
No, and they were really going for a redemption arc again. And Bravo, take note, Bravo, you cannot push a redemption arc on people that aren't remorseful.
Yeah.
We need basic remorse before we're going to offer someone redemption, you know?
And was she being harassed? I was like, is this Casting Central where they've gone to find some weird woman that turns up at your door with a...
Just calling her Erica as well. Like, that's so unprofessional.
Yeah. Not
very strange.
Ex Girardi.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't know. I just didn't care enough.
It didn't really work, did it?
And no, the big because what we really wanted to see, I would have, like, if you were selling it to me, I would, like, I would want to see this woman really coming back into her own body and back into her own performance and seeing that celebrated as we move through the documentary. Do you know what I mean? Seeing this woman really rebuild herself. But it was a bit of a sad sack.
It was, wasn't it? That's exactly what it was.
Yeah.
Didn't really go anywhere.
We didn't see her really find her joy. I wanted to see her find
her
joy.
No, she didn't seem like... I thought that this was the biggest opportunity of her life, what she'd always wanted and stuff. And she really didn't seem to, it seemed like an irritation to her, you know? So it was a strange
I think
affair.
It was a strange choice of things to do. I feel Bravo this week, and I hope Andy is listening, because I feel like Bravo this week, we've sort of done you a slight disservice, because I feel like we've been a little bit picky. So highlights of the week. For you.
The return of Sesame Street. I know I shouldn't call her that, but it's such a great nickname. Tom Sandoval flirting in the pool. Tom Sandoval's face when Ariana showed up to the bar. I mean, there were some good moments.
Yeah.
Tom Sandoval's everyone's starting to lose a bit of patience now.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
I'm loving the lighter moments. I'm quite liking the emergence of Joe. I like Ali.
I like Ali.
So they were kind of highlights of the week for me. I like it when the girls in Potomac do something a little bit different. I wasn't against the icons.
No, and I liked seeing the friendship with Ashley and Giselle. I thought that was nice.
That was
a bit
nice.
A genuine sisterhood there for someone who's struggling. We don't see that a lot in this universe.
And as much as the Valley didn't get off to a great start, I'm keeping the faith, Andy.
I think it has potential because I know how nuts some of that cast are.
Yeah. And Christine Doty has always given good reality telly.
She really has. And she was hard done by. I think Lisa Vanderpump took issue with her. And
yeah.
She was hard done by. She was done a disservice, I think.
Yeah. And I'm not religious, so, but, you know, in Andy we trust.
In Andy we trust. That's true.
In Andy we trust. So good luck with all that. Next week I am going to Austria.
Good for you. As part of a festival?
I am going to Altitude Festival where I'll be skiing. Not skiing. Who am I kidding? I'm not skiing.
I've never skied.
I'm hopefully going to be pulled around in some kind of sled or something. I'll be doing very low risk activities.
Oh, please.
Bless
you. There's a poster for your Edinburgh show.
I will definitely send photographs. There's going to be a raft of really famous comedians and then me. Dara O'Brien's going, Paul Smith's going. There's like Matt Watson going, there's loads of great comedians, Emmanuel Sinobi, there's going to be all these brilliant people, and then me. So I don't quite know how I've got on this amazing list.
You are brilliant.
Oh, it's bless gonna be you. Great. So it's going to be great fun, which does mean I won't be here. So we're going to have to come up with some contingency. I don't know whether you might want to jump on.
We will. Well, I could jump on without you.
She might jump on. Or we might get a little guest, but we will do something while I'm away in the Austria. But at least we've warned you in advance.
Yes.
Which so I feel like we've not done that before.
We will have something next week. We won't have
something will happen.
Something will be put out. But in the meantime, keep watching The Valley, Pump Rules and Potomac.
And do we know, because I think like you're much better at this than me, do we know which franchise is coming up next?
No, I need to look into that. I feel like New York's overdue.
Yes, come on. I would love New York to come back. I'm also missing Orange County.
County's going to come back, and it's the return of Jesus Jugs, and she's now dating Shannon Bedore's ex, and Shannon Bedore's been done for drink driving. So I really feel this could be the year for OC.
We need a big franchise to come back soon. And like, if the OC could make an appearance very soon, great. I don't know where Atlanta's gone. So we need a big franchise, and we need it.
We do.
So, but much love. I will miss you.
I will miss you too. Have an amazing time. Don't break a leg.
I will.
Well, I mean, do, but figuratively.
I can't possibly promise that.
Do follow us on the socials at RH Guilty Secrets. Send us any questions you have or anything else you'd like us to cover.
Yeah.
And we will see you very soon.
This has been the Real Housewives Guilty Secret Fan Club.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was brought to you by Nina Gilligan and Naomi Cooper, edited and produced by Frog and Bucket, with the music Spoilt Brat by Ruth.